At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everybody, Kit here. Welcome to episode 30 of the Kit and Krista podcast. I wanted to give you a quick heads up before we begin that this is a different kind of an episode than we normally have because it was recorded live at PAX in Seattle this last weekend. We had a really great time there and had a great panel where we shared a very fun story about a crazy week that we had with Hideki Kamiya of Platinum Games and also answered a number of questions from the people who were in the audience. For those questions, it's a little bit hard to hear what they're actually saying, so we went ahead and put the text for those into the description of this podcast. So if you want to follow along, you can find those there. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll be back with another full episode next week.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Kit and Krista podcast live.
Woo! Thank you all for coming. I was so nervous that no one would show up, and now I'm not so nervous anymore.
You've been having weeks of nightmares about walking into an empty room.
I know.
And it's not empty.
It's not empty.
So that's wonderful.
You guys are here. I'm so excited. Yes. I already feel better.
Yes. I'd like to thank you all for coming, and I also like to thank the Nintendo Ninjas who are in the rafters.
Yeah, don't drop down on us.
If I catch a blow dart to the neck in the middle of this, you'll know what's
you'll know
going
why.
On.
You'll get dragged off the stage, telling all the secrets, you know.
We got a fun show for you, and this is actually the episode that we're going to be releasing this week, which is our 30th, by the way.
Yeah, woo! Wow. 30th episode! Made possible because of all of you guys out there supporting us, so thank you so much.
Do we have any Patreon subscribers in the
audience?
I know
we do. Oh. I know we do. Yes!
Yes!
Yes.
Yes.
These are the people keeping the lights on, everyone. Wave to them. Say thank you because they are making it possible for us to be here. So thank you so much.
We've got a wonderful never-before-told story that we're going to be taking you all through.
PAX-themed
about one Mr. Hideki Kamiya. Maybe you've heard the name.
Yeah. Maybe he's canceled you on Twitter or blocked you.
we remain unblocked.
I'm not blocked. He likes me.
By the end of today, though.
We'll see.
Might be a different story.
These stories are very, very nice.
So wholesome.
Very wholesome.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we're also going to be doing your Q&As.
Yeah, live.
Yeah.
So this is the time to ask your burning questions.
We'll let you know when the time is ready for that.
Yes.
But you've made this wonderful...
So professional.
What do we have in here? What is this?
Well, there's a little bit about us.
Who is that? That's
Who
us.
That's us.
Yes.
I mean, you guys should know us by now, but if you don't, I'm Krista.
Now you do. And I'm Kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys also might remember this, which is where we started, our very, very first episode of Nintendo Minute in 2013.
Yeah.
To the very last episode, tears in my eyes in this photo in 2022. But it's okay. It's okay. Because guess what? Because we're here.
Yes.
Even
we
better
are.
Than ever. Yeah. Right? Woo! so we have the Kit and Krista podcast, which is what we're doing live here. But we also have Super Kit and Krista 64. Which is basically, you call it the spiritual successor to Nintendo Minute.
What would you call it?
I would also call it the spiritual successor.
Well, I'm glad. Some of you were asking about our street pass status. They were packed, but left in the hotel rooms.
Tomorrow, though.
Tomorrow.
No. Tomorrow. Okay, here's the plan. Yeah. We're going to be on the show floor tomorrow.
That's true.
I feel like that is, if anywhere, the place to get it.
Or right here. Or I guess. But if you see us, please say hello. And look for check your street
pass.
Hold
out your 3DS.
Yeah,
there's some 3DSs out there. You'll get some.
I think so.
Good.
I agree.
Charlie Conroy will definitely street pass.
That's true.
Wonderful.
Oh, Charlie Conroy is a good friend
perfect.
Of ours. Yes, perfect. Yeah. We'll do that. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have a nice update to that.
Yeah.
But we have some other cool Super Kit and Krista 64 stuffs coming out, including a rap battle.
Splatoon rap battle.
Splatoon.
Yeah.
That's going to be out on Tuesday of next week.
I mean, as I've been saying, you take one look at me and you say,
born to rap.
Guy was born to rap, so
born.
You won't want to miss that.
Yeah.
And earlier today, moments before we walked over here,
today.
We had a special meetup
with
none other
only.
Than...
Yeah. One yes. and only, the man himself.
You look photoshopped into this picture. I'm not sure you were actually
I'm
there.
I'm wearing the same clothes as I am right now, so you know this is real. This is where I hold
Let's
up a sign
Let's get those
deep
fake people on this.
you got to hold up that sign.
It does. Today.
Today.
We had a great, 2 hours we spent with Reggie.
Yeah, we had some lunch. We caught up on all the things. And then he did a great, we did 10 burning questions for Reggie. A lot of our Patreon subscribers, you guys submitted some really amazing questions.
Yeah.
Reggie loved those, and we were able to ask a lot of those on when we spent time with him today.
One question we asked, which I won't spoil his response for, was
burning question.
Today, in the year 2022, is Link still hot?
Yeah, we'll see what he says. The answer may shock.
He declared years ago that he was. Maybe
we'll see what
maybe he's changed. I don't know.
Changed his mind.
No, but we are going to be releasing that on the Kit and Krista podcast, not this week, but the week after.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would be a really fun show. We spent a long time with Reggie just catching up. And we also wanted Reggie, we really wanted Reggie to be our first guest on the Kit and Krista podcast. So now that we've done that and he's been on the show, we can get other guests.
Open it up.
Yeah,
right.
So we're excited about that as well. So that's going to be great.
Great.
All right, Nintendo story time, shall we?
What's the next slide? I don't know.
That's what it is.
Oh, good.
It is Babyface Kit. This
Look
is
at
basically
that.
Like the same room, but years and years and years ago.
Right. This was 2013. I had to go back and check.
Yeah. Pre-Nintendo Minute.
I think it was the year that it started.
It was a year.
But
it,
we were still getting it off the ground. So we didn't do anything with him related to that.
Right.
But anyway, so the wonderful 101 was coming out on Wii U, and we had this big idea of having Mr. Kamiya come out to PAX to do a big panel to talk all about it and to promote it.
Yeah, and I think this was one of the first times Nintendo officially as a company did a panel at PAX. Before, the company was pretty little shy about that.
Well,
developer out there, so
also a little disorganized, honestly.
A little disorganized.
Well, the truth is, we're very busy. E3 is all-consuming, and the deadlines for the PAX panels are earlier than you would think.
True.
So it was always we can't think about that. We can't ask anybody about it. So by the time E3 was over, we'd missed our chance.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, we were all over it. We were on top.
And the great thing was Mr. Kamiya was just so excited about it. He really wanted to do it, and he was really just game for anything, doing the panel, doing these fan meetups. He did a whole bunch of autograph sessions with people at PAX, and he was just so kind and out there, which is great.
So we were in charge of kind of putting together this whole week for him. And really, being glued to his side,
pretty much
at all times.
It was 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every, because we would work all day with him, and then we would have dinner with him as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what was your feeling going into this as he was about to land? How were you feeling about meeting him for the first time?
I was honestly a little bit nervous because I've definitely heard stories about Mr. Kamiya being a little bit intense, and he definitely likes things a certain way, and he's very public about that. So I just wanted to make sure that he was happy with the experience. And again, this was one of our first times, if not my first time ever, doing a panel at PAX. You think I'm nervous now. I was nervous for him. I was nervous for all of us.
You weren't on the panel.
I know, but I was still nervous. And I guess I just had some just some, you know, anticipation, wanting it to be good.
I was nervous too because he has this, you know, tough guy, bad boy persona online. And it's like, wow, that's pretty different than a lot of these Nintendo developers we work with who are
totally.
Very, you know, professional and very focused. I just didn't know what it would be like. You know, somebody else who's like that is Mr. Itagaki, who used to work on Dead or Alive.
Carried a whip around.
That's Iga.
Oh, okay.
Very friendly, but carries a whip. A strange combination of things. But Mr. Itagaki, like I've met him a few times and heard stories about him. He really walks the walk when it comes to that.
Tough guy for some.
Right. But we found very quickly that Mr. Kamiya is really like a big softie. Right.
Yeah. He's a big sweetheart.
Yeah.
Behind the I'm gonna block you on Twitter persona.
Right. But remember the first day it was just him. There were some people who came later and we picked him up from the airport.
As we like to do with our developers.
It's a weird responsibility. We've done this a number of times. Mm-hmm. When you end up chauffeuring them around.
You do.
Like, I rented a car and drove him around for a week.
Right.
It's like, this is a weird responsibility for me to have. Why am I doing this?
And then, you're really just kind of, not forced, but you are not only doing your job managing his media, you know, his media interviews and doing this panel, but you're like making dinner reservations and like making sure
bodyguard,
carry his stuff. All these random things that you never think about that becomes part of your responsibility.
Right,
for the week.
Right. So we spent all of that first day really at the Nintendo office, doing just run through after run through of his presentation.
We basically making the presentation that day.
Yeah, that's like one of the things you may not realize about these presentations is, especially with the Japanese developers, they'll have like a rough idea in mind and maybe they'll send over some assets, but it comes together
at the last second. Yeah.
So we literally spent a full day with him getting it in place and he was kind of getting it mentally done. And it's great that we had that whole day because otherwise we'd have nothing. We'd have nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And you told the story about, you know, the GDC panel. It's the exact same thing.
Right.
With the Breath of the Wild
developers. They basically pulled an all-nighter to make this incredible presentation.
We did not, thankfully, have to pull
I went
an
home.
All-nighter with Mr. Kamiya, which was nice.
Right.
But definitely it was like sort of coming together the days leading up to the actual panel.
But by the end of the day, it felt like we had a pretty good bond going with him, where I was like, okay, I could take a deep breath and think like, you know, this guy is different than maybe we expected him to be. I think just from a personality standpoint, this is going to be smooth sailing. You know, he was so out there on social media. There were times that we had flagged it for the team in Japan, the marketing team in Japan, of like, are you okay with him saying this? Of you people asking him questions about, you know, games he was making on Nintendo platforms. And they were very evasive about answering that. They're like, well, he's just being himself. Kamiya's gonna Kamiya. Where, you know, if it was literally anybody else, they would have been like, squashed.
That was an interesting thing, where it was like, for some reason, he just got this, like, carte blanche.
He got a pass,
Even from the very strict, like, Nintendo Japan team, which usually is very, like, buttoned up about, don't say that, you know. The developers have to be perceived in a certain way, but they were just kind of like, oh, well, that's just him. And I was kind of surprised by that, honestly.
Yeah, well, I think they're afraid.
Well,
let's be honest.
There you go. The sunglasses came on and he was like, whatever.
Yeah. The sunglasses are always on, we found.
Always.
Yeah.
Different tints, but always on.
Yeah.
Nighttime, daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I've been staring at these pictures getting ready for this so long, and I've been playing also a lot of the Cowabunga collection. It's like, his head's kind of like a Ninja Turtle's head. I love it.
Yeah.
It's very unique, but
he
I like it.
He also had some very interesting food options. Now, we got to get into the story, because I love this.
Well, one more thing before we get to the food, because that's kind of like the emotional centerpiece of this whole trip, believe it or not, was his lunch choices. But the next day, this other person that you see here, JP, came in.
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe like what JP's role was at Platinum. He kind of did it all.
Right.
Like, he did a lot of the localization for the original Bayonetta games.
Right.
He eventually had, like, a producer role on that game Scalebound that got canceled that they were making for Xbox. But he was kind of like Mr. Kamiya's right-hand man.
Yeah, and he also did all the translation.
Right, he came, his role with this panel was to come and translate.
Right.
But it was interesting with him coming the next day. I don't any Game of Thrones fans out there. He's kind of got like a hand of the king kind of mentality where like I would ask Mr. Kami a question, he would answer for him. So like, oh, I was like, oh no, this great, you know, bond that seemed to be forming is getting a little bit upended.
Right, by this like middle person.
Right. So, you know, JP does have a big personality, but we came to, you know, figure it all out, this new dynamic.
Yeah.
And honestly, I love JP now. He's great. He worked on Madden for a number of years. He's since left Platinum. He's back in the U.S., but he is a really wonderful
guy.
He's
awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a moment that Mr. Kamiya had a bit of a tiff, though, with poor JP.
Yeah, this was maybe like day three or four.
Yeah.
You know, we've been there long enough.
Where people could let
long enough to get on somebody's
let their
nerves.
Guard down a little bit. Well, people were true colors, I guess. We're starting.
Speaking of, tomorrow's our third day at PAX together.
That's when I rage on you.
Uh-oh, look out. but yeah, we were meeting up outside the hotel, and that was like the meetup time was like 9 a.m. And 9 a.m., we're all there except for JP. And so it's like, well, he's a couple minutes late, it's a big deal. He comes out at like 9:05.
Holding this artisanal coffee.
Holding a coffee that he had got from like the coffee place
artisanal.
Next door. And boy, did he get it.
He got it. He was yelled at.
Maybe Mr. Kamiya.
Pretty severely.
Maybe Mr. Kamiya needed a coffee.
Well, I think that he should have just brought coffees for all of us, and that would have been problem solved.
That would have been friendly, yeah.
But he had his own coffee and was like 5 minutes
late. I mean, it was all in Japanese, so who knows what was actually said.
But it was a little
certain
awkward
amount of pointing
us.
Happening. So
a little awkward for us. We're like, we'll stay out of this.
It's one of these days.
Oh,
okay.
No. Okay.
Great. Let's not bury the lead here. So these lunches.
Yeah, the lunches.
He had very specific food requests around lunches. The dinners, he's like, you guys can book whatever you want.
Right.
But when it comes to lunch, he noticed that across the street from the convention center, there is a Cheesecake Factory. Who knew? He's a big fan of the Cheesecake Factory. So every
but
day.
Very specific.
Literally every day, we would go to the Cheesecake Factory, and he had a very specific order as well.
Right. Any guesses on what this specific order is? You'll never guess.
Fried mac and cheese ball.
Close.
I mean, the menu is literally 1,000 pages long,
right.
So I don't feel bad that you don't know.
Ew, that sounds terrible. Cheese for your emeralds, no.
So his order of choice was the spaghetti carbonara.
Now, anyone that can down a dinner portion of spaghetti carbonara in the middle of the day and not be completely laid out for the rest of the afternoon is like a hero.
So this is where it gets controversial. Because every day, somehow we had the same waitress every day. I don't know how, I mean, this is a big restaurant. Somehow she got matched up with him. They would lock horns every day. And he would say to her, I would like to order the spaghetti carbonara, but please.
I don't want the lunch
portion. I don't want the lunch portion. I want the dinner portion.
Do you understand how large that thing is? It's like a trough.
It's like a manhole cover.
Yeah, it's
with like
a trough
carbonara on it.
Carbonara.
Right. And yet, every time, this waitress would bring the lunch portion. And this became just like.
And then he would send it back.
A growing like thorn in his side. Until the final day.
That's right. The final thing.
Something snapped.
Something
between
finally
them.
Clicked. Yeah.
He you know, dutifully put in the same order. And out came the dinner portion of carbonara.
But though, the best part of this is that he couldn't finish the dinner portion.
No.
So there we go. I mean, he's really.
As the waitress came back to take the plate away, he did kind of give her like an apologetic sort of gesture. Like, you were right.
Yeah. You saved me, you know, 3 days of embarrassment by slipping me this lunch portion. Who knew?
Right.
She was red all along. Yeah.
This is also, so you have a one-of-a-kind collectible that you got during this week with Mr. Kamiya. Please tell us what this is.
Yeah, this is actually pretty cool. And we showed off this particular item before in a video. But the game that we were out promoting was The Wonderful 101, which is all about these characters sort of coming together to form an even more powerful entity. And when we were talking about, you know, spending all those days with Mr. Kamiya, like, what was the inspiration behind this? Like, what gave you the idea to make a game like this? He kind of gave us a surprising answer, which was, it was a children's book called Swimmy. And the whole point of this book was that, you know, you are this little fish, and then to defeat this like bigger enemy, you came together with all the other little fish to make a big school of fish that was more ferocious to this enemy. And that was actually the main inspiration for this like really interesting and different game mechanic in The Wonderful 101. So we were like, okay, well, now we're on a mission. We have to go try to find this book.
Well, he asked for it.
Right.
Again, this is one of those like last minute requests now that he's on the ground and thinking about this. He's like, you know, it would be great if I could have that book so I could hold it up. It's like, oh, okay, I've never heard of this book.
Right,
So we scoured the bookstores of downtown Seattle.
We did.
And you found one.
I did, shockingly. Yeah, shockingly, I found one. And we brought it back, and he was really happy to have it. And he ended up signing it for me at the end of this whole fantastic experience. And I have it still as like a little memento from that time with him. And yeah, I'll definitely keep it forever. It's really awesome. It's you know, something that I look back on fondly and remember all the time that we spent with him.
Right, yeah. Right. So back to the prep for this panel. Again, this is a week that we had together. So
right.
It wasn't just that first day. So now this, you know, the second and the third day, we had the full team there. We had Mr. Kamiya, we had JP, we had all of our group.
Mm-hmm.
It was just grind out rehearsal after rehearsal. Yeah.
And somehow I got really sick during it too.
I don't remember this, but apparently you were.
I was like,
what happened?
I had like a horrible cold, and I remember like when
see,
we
that's
were
a bad look these days.
Now I can't do that anymore. If I had any sort of sign of an
don't
illness, I would be sent away.
Right.
Back in 2013, I don't care if you're sick. Get to work, people. And I was like sniffing, and I remember you had came up to me and you were like, "You gonna be okay? Like, do you need to go home? Do you need to leave?" And I powered through somehow. Somehow.
Wow.
You weren't looking out for me. What was your role in that?
Wow. This is a toxic workplace, I say. It's carried over to this day. Kit and Krista Incorporated. Somehow I became the moderator for this session, and I don't know how that happened, because you were actually the lead for this.
Yeah.
I was just along for the ride in the carbonara.
I mean, I think it came from my extreme fear of doing panels.
Somehow continues to this day.
I know, right?
We release a podcast. We release videos that get you know seen and heard by thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. It's like, big deal. But we got this panel. It's like, whoa.
I get nervous. I mean, I don't
Let's
know.
Let's give her a round of applause. She can do it.
Yeah.
She's doing it right now.
It's all happening right now. So I think I like suckered you into it.
You did, yeah.
I was like, so, you want to do me a huge favor and do this? And you were very amenable to that.
And the process of like preparing to be the moderator for that is interesting because it is, I mean, it's a little bit ad hoc, but a lot of it is very like scripted.
Yeah.
So I would have this notebook that just had pages and pages of like the cues that
right.
I would sort of serve up a topic to them and they would, you know, run with it and answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would move on. And it was all based on the
right.
slides that we had.
Exactly.
But every time we would do one of these rehearsals, they would kind of go on a like a little detour that would send me like scrambling.
You're like flipping furiously.
My whole thing
notebook?
is out of whack.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a little tough too because it was also in Japanese. So you would have like
with translation,
no idea what he actually said until
what's going
someone
on here? I don't
translated
know.
It.
Right.
I think for years later after this panel, that was always our like setup. Like you would moderate it. Because then you moderated like a couple other ones.
Bravely Second, I remember,
mm-hmm.
was one.
Yeah, Dragon Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In a slime hat, no
In
less.
In a slime hat.
Yeah, yeah.
I did gather my courage and moderate on Al Numa panel one
You
time.
Did it once at New York Comic Con.
I was like very like, this is the last time.
Right.
And I would run the PowerPoint. Back there.
That's also nerve-wracking, is running the PowerPoint.
Oh, yeah.
You don't
want to mess that up. And sometimes it'll go out of order, and all your slides will get all
don't do that.
Messed up.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting. And then this other photo of me, we used to do, so I used to, before, you know, we started focusing on Nintendo Minute, I used to do, like, just random hosting things on the Nintendo YouTube
I watched
channel.
This video this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing. It's a lot of weird, like, scripted
Roll
video.
It!
No. You can watch the video on your own time.
Yeah, we'd always, like, it was like a recap for the, it's like a two-minute video, you know, cue the Access Hollywood music as you're like, hey, we're on the ground at PAX. Hideki Kamiya gave a panel about blah, blah, blah.
And then he interacted with fans. But it was always like very scripted and very awkward because it's not, you know, it's meant to be.
It's not what we're best at.
Right. And you would sit.
Someone should make a supercut of like all of these little segments that you did. That would be awesome.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I hope no one does because I had really unfortunate hair in a lot of them. Yeah. Is my conclusion.
So we had the panel. It went great.
It did, yeah.
Packed room. People enjoyed it. He had a good time. He was very smooth, very relaxed.
Yeah.
And then I remember we had a big celebratory dinner. See, this is where I don't know my Seattle neighborhoods. But it was like on the other side, so you could like see the city from there.
Yeah.
And it was just like a big celebration.
It was like a seafood place.
Yeah, we had some other people who'd worked on the game.
I'm going to say Ballard.
At NOA came out. Ballard? And we just had basically a big party.
Yeah.
And then awesome. I dutifully chauffeured him back to the, I was his Uber driver. I took him back to the airport and sent him off.
Get him,
the
got
next
him back
day.
On that plane to Japan. And
back to Osaka you go.
See you later.
Yeah, yeah. And he also told us, he's like, yeah, I just had a baby a week ago.
And that's like, right.
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Please go.
Your poor wife.
Let JP do this, yeah.
It's like, so, I missed the first few days of my new child's life by being on this podcast.
All right.
But sure.
So we sent him back to his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful to spend time with him. I would love to go visit him in Osaka one of these days.
Yeah.
He can take me out for carbonara.
Well, we talked about this. So Platinum Games, their new sort of head of business. I know that's such
a weird... Yeah, it's a guy from Nintendo that we
worked
with.
He used to be the head of like third-party relations in Nintendo in Japan.
Right, right.
He was that was a big deal in our eyes. Of like, wow, this guy seemed like a lifer at Nintendo, and now he's working at Platinum. So I don't know if that means more of their games might be coming for Nintendo in the future, or if it means anything. But
right.
Yeah.
He has that guy has a pretty interesting personality as well.
He's perfect.
For Platinum?
For Platinum, yeah.
He's perfect for Platinum.
Yeah. I just need like a buddy cop of him and Kamiya and Inaba doing zany things in Osaka.
They can do crazy stuff in Osaka.
Yeah.
It could be really cool.
Yeah.
And I want to be there.
It's like a takoyaki eating contest. I mean, it's basically like the Yakuza games in real life.
Except for like the violence.
Except for smashing somebody with a motorcycle.
Like a bat or whatever. But anyways, yes.
Yeah.
That's our story time for today.
It is.
Very PAX appropriate.
Indeed.
Yes.
We're right on time, right on schedule, so we can roll into your questions if you happen to have any. There's two mics, one on each side, so just line up, and we'll alternate sides until we're out of time.
Yeah, don't be shy. If I have to sit up here, you have to ask a question. That's the rule, right?
You are ready, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
The PlayStation, could you say that again?
The PlayStation Vita.
Oh, the Vita.
Oh, the Vita. Okay, with some Vita fans in the audience.
I wasn't expecting that as the first question. I am a proud Vita owner, believe it or not.
I was going to say, you have some experience with this.
I do.
Remember we played some Destiny early days. You were on the Vita.
So. PlayStation Remote Play has been like my white whale, to make like a Moby Dick reference, for years.
You just want it to work.
Just want it to work. And I did buy a Vita around the time that we were playing Destiny specifically for that, because I was like, this is a PlayStation device. If this is ever going to work well, it's going to work
time.
With the Vita.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it didn't work that well. So. My Vita ownership was a little... I mean, I still have it.
Right.
I never really got too into the games. They kind of Nintendo'd themselves on the hardware, where they just threw all these, like, gimmicks into it. Like,
there's a lot of gimmicks, that's true.
They had the back touch, which remains baffling to me.
Yeah.
They threw in, like, all these cameras. They had, like, kind of their equivalent to Street Pass. I think it was called Near. You know, normally you think of like a PlayStation product being like very slick, very streamlined, and this was just a little like hodgepodgey in my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never owned one.
Have you ever touched a Vita?
I've touched one, yes.
Okay.
At E3.
I'll let you borrow mine.
I've touched the front and the back, and it was disappointing both ways.
So. Yeah. I also thought the Sony output, like the first party games, kind of like, they didn't seem like they had that many.
Exactly.
Like they weren't properly supporting it to really get it off the ground. So
it's
I wasn't.
Like early 3DS days or something.
I wasn't super surprised when it didn't really get going because it didn't feel like they had like the great pipeline of first party games like we know Sony can make.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So remains a cult classic. I'm just not in the cult.
All right, we'll go to this side.
Oh, this
now.
Side, yes. Oh.
Oh, right. Awesome.
My question actually is more along your JavaScript for Nintendo. I know that the personality side and the live appearances probably wasn't in your initial JavaScript. At what point did you realize that you might be becoming internet personalities? Was there any resistance to that? Or what was your thought process of realizing that you're starting to become like something people associate with Nintendo and an ISO here?
Yeah, so funny. We were just asking Reggie the same question a few hours ago. Because it is interesting.
My humble brag.
Wait, what?
Please.
Don't interrupt me. It's not nice. I think it sort of happened gradually a little bit. Like we were always, we've been on the communications team at Nintendo throughout our career, and we would do more formal, sort of media-focused things like media interviews. We were also, Nintendo did have a good training program for spokespeople, media training that they would put you through. It was pretty intense actually, to make sure you could answer all the questions in a good and company-approved way.
Basically, you sit down for like 20 minutes
and someone grills you
and a scary person asks you the scariest questions possible extremely aggressively and they film it and
they
then they play it back to you.
And then play it back and tell you where you made all your mistakes and it's literally terrifying.
Right. So of course, no interview is actually that intense
or
crazy.
They want to prepare you for the worst.
So when you do a real interview, you're like, this is a piece of cake.
Yeah, this is like, when does this game come out? You're like, no worries, no problem. but I think, we both really just had this like desire, I think, to connect more with the community. And with Nintendo Minute, we really noticed, or before Nintendo Minute, we really noticed that there was sort of this gap that Nintendo had with the company not really having this like direct conversation with fans. And we were like having these conversations with each other, like we'd be playing games and talking about it together, or playing co-op games together, or like, why don't we just share that with the community? Because I'm sure they're doing the same thing. You know, they just want to be relatable. So that's kind of how that transition happened. And yeah, for a long time, like the Nintendo Minute stuff wasn't really even part of like our quote unquote real jobs.
Well, I mean, to the point about a job description, it was never on there.
Right.
And there were a lot of people that we worked with who did seem to be very focused on the job description matching, like line for line, what they did.
Right.
I think we just gave up on that a long time ago.
We did, yeah.
Because
it's like,
okay, this is, it's a big company, but it doesn't have a lot of people there, and people are asked to do a lot of different things. You just have to be flexible.
A little bit more flexible.
Right.
But, it was a little tough sometimes, especially for you, I think, because there was definitely moments where it was like, well, do you really need to be doing this Nintendo Minute stuff?
I did get that question a few times of like, what? Maybe your time would be better spent
right
doing something else.
Yeah. And thankfully, you always held fast to wanting to, dedicate your time to that and continuing to like engage with the community. But I think it was hard because it was like, this is not actually part of your 9-to-5 job or whatever.
There was another element of it where my last few years I was leading all of the NOA social media stuff. I never wanted it to look like I was calling my own number, like 10 tweets a day, Nintendo Minute, let's get it out there. Like, if anything, I would be like, don't talk about this, because I didn't want people to think like, oh, he's in this role and he's abusing his power.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So
I just like, great, let's somebody say something bad about it.
Please. He's gone off the deep end. Now he's crazy with...
Exactly. Which could,
power.
Could happen.
Could happen, yeah. All right.
Now over to the other side, please.
All right, so I'm the co-founder of Lucas, and thank you for having me.
Oh. Oh.
So my question is, have you ever gotten these street passes with them, and have you ever like to see the street passes being incorporated in any future Nintendo consoles?
We did work with Street Pass San Francisco, I think, for that one.
Yeah, I almost got arrested for that.
We almost got arrested.
Yeah.
Along with the entire contingent of street pass.
Apparently you need an official permit to have like a meetup for 8 people in a public space. I don't know.
Union Square, they're like tough out there. I love all of the, you know, when the street pass was like at its height, having all of these cool like grassroots communities that kind of cropped up in different cities to get people together to do it. I thought it was awesome. I think it'll be great to, ever since that Street Pass video that we did, I was like, this is cool. Like, why don't we have this anymore? I kind of miss it, you know?
I think there's a couple reasons maybe why it wasn't in the Switch. I think one, they just needed to clear, again, after so many snafus of understanding, like, oh, is this just the same thing? Like with Wii U and even a little bit with 3DS. Mm-hmm. I think they're just like, we need to have a clean break, even if this is a cool idea. I think they also wanted to be careful of giving like dual shine to play it on your TV or play it with you, whereas something like with Street Pass might make it feel more like
a handheld
device. Yeah. So I would love to have Street Pass on Switch, but I understand some of the fundamental reasons why maybe it wasn't.
Now that 3DS is no longer for sale, though,
right?
It kind of opens that door up a little bit, maybe, and perhaps in the next life cycle of Switch,
that would be great.
There would be more features. I don't know, but I think that would be cool to just, you know, add to the handheld part of it a bit more, or just the connection part of it a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi there. I actually specifically have a question for Kit.
Oh.
Why?
Oh no, you're getting called out for your disparaging of a classic.
Well, we have said that when we get to a certain subscriber number, we're doing Sonic Week, and it's nonstop Sonic games, Sonic movie reactions, Sonic podcasts. I would love to love a Sonic game, it just hasn't happened yet. I do have a bit of a mental block. I grew up deep in the Nintendo Sega console wars on the Nintendo side. And I was deeply wounded by some of the things that Sega was doing at the time, which
emotional scars
just gave me like a lifetime.
Yeah, just, you had a thing at your desk that was one of the old like Sega advertisement things that said like Sega does what Nintendo.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't. I had that printed out at work.
You printed it out and you put it on this bulletin board that was like right next to your computer.
Yeah.
And I asked you when I first met you, like, why do you have that there? That's so weird. And you're like, it's to motivate me to work harder for Nintendo. And I was like, okay, crazy.
Yes, decades later.
It worked
as
though.
Sega is now like a shell of itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta hold on to those old things.
It's
also like just the gameplay of Sonic games doesn't quite click for me, but we're saving that for that big Sonic week.
Maybe
teaser.
You know, this could be a pivotal moment.
It could be cathartic.
You could change your mind.
I am very willing.
Throughout this Sonic week, what if you
became
the world's biggest Sonic fan?
I'm very willing
week.
To change my
I
mind.
Mean,
I'm very open-minded about
all
this.
All of these timelines could come true.
I admittedly, I haven't played every Sonic game. I've played a good number of them. If there's one people think I should try, let me know.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, there was one thing that we talked about, it was like a week or two ago. Like, Nintendo doesn't tease things on social media.
Right.
So there's a lot of time that gets into, like, oh, does this mean something? And I think the specific example was this 3D render of Mario from a few years where he was eating
like a watermelon. And the caption
it mentioned Odyssey and Sunshine.
Yeah.
And people were like, Sunshine port confirmed. And like
Odyssey
that was,
3 coming out.
Yeah, so that was just like a very, like, well, let's encapsulate the whole Mario experience into this post that we're making.
About summertime.
Right, right. Yeah. So I think there's probably fewer like indicators than you might think, because
right.
obviously the whole point is to
surprise
you
and delight
and not have you see it coming. So
yeah
that was why I had to post that about that particular instance, because I was like, people are getting really worked up about this and it's not gonna work out.
If anything, our advice to you guys is to go the other way. If you think that people are speculating on like a certain trailer or an image or something like that, it's probably not true. So I wouldn't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo does not really do stuff like that in their marketing, and they really make a big effort to like manage everyone's expectations so that, you know, that doesn't happen.
We are deep in the
direct rumors
hype cycle currently. We'll probably dig into that more next week.
Yeah, revise the predictions.
You know, we've been busy, so I haven't looked into everything that's out there so far. But one thing I always say, there's one person who I trust a lot.
Jeff Grubb
himself. I always, like, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if there was a September.
Oh, we predicted that a long time ago, so there better be.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I was excited to see the potential Twilight Princess Wind Waker port. I'm personally excited about that. So we'll
see
what happens.
Yeah.
Jeff Grubb did say, though. That was one of his
predictions. Love Jeff Grubb. Yes.
There you go. All right.
Back to this side. Well, you know, there was that thing called Operation Rainfall years and years and years ago, which was, I think, really pivotal in shifting like the mindset of the company, honestly. And it's so rare for the company to be reacting to a big fan outpouring like that. But up until that point, I think the company was very selective of like, oh, well, this game will or won't work for the U.S. audience.
Right.
And even if it was a good game, they, you know, in some cases they would not release it.
Yeah.
And I think there were a couple games that were in that kind of time frame. I think The Last Story was another one,
right,
where they did end up releasing that, and those games did well.
Right.
And I think now you see, you know, these games
getting proper marketing.
They're released day and date. The localization should not be underestimated. How much work goes into getting that ready for all the markets.
Yeah.
And Fire Emblem is another example.
I was going to just bring up Fire Emblem.
Yeah, please.
I think, you know, that was another example of Nintendo, especially in the Americas, being just like super convinced that like this is a niche game with a very small fan base that's not going to, from a business perspective, not going to really, you know, be something that they want to support. You know, they're really focused on these like broad games for everyone, like the Wii Sports and stuff like that. So I think it was a total shock when Fire Emblem Awakening just like blew the sales numbers like out of the water.
Yeah.
But it was great because it made it so that, you know, the company is more willing to have different varieties of games and bring some of these games over to the U.S. market.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, we all love, you know, our Marios and Zeldas, but it is important that the company builds new series and makes them popular.
Right.
So, you know, those two examples along with Splatoon, like, that shows a lot of growth for the company, I think.
And really, we just need the Husbandos to just keep coming. So, localize the games, please. Thank you.
It's just a revolving door of Husbandos.
It's a revolving door of Husbandos, and I'm here for that. I'm here for that. All right, back to this side.
Hello, it's for before I ask my question, Vita might be a good photography tool.
Oh.
I'm curious because some of the hardware we store together, my best friend from college got married over the summer, and on top of a mountain in the middle of Pennsylvania, 90-degree heat, my phone died, all I have is my Vita.
Oh my goodness.
There's actually a really cool picture of there's a mansion, there's a cool picture of, you know, my best friend. Just hanging there. The sun is So then he just showed me that he made a portrait roll of the wedding pictures at the home.
From the Vita.
Wow.
That's amazing. Next time, take the wedding photos with a Game Boy camera, though.
Oh, my God, yes.
That would be awesome.
I was actually going down the red church for me and myself over here, and they actually had a 14 Game Boy color, so I did a selfie.
It's pretty cool. It has a cool look to it.
Did somebody just turn on a Game Boy?
No, that was my
note.
Oh.
I'm like,
what's going on?
But you had a question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question I have is, it's over 5 years since the Switch has been around, and now my competition is heating up. We've got Steam Deck, PlayStation just announced that controller thing with the phone. Now, in this stretch now, do you think Nintendo's going to think of something to keep it alive? I mean, not just the games, that's not something anywhere that's going to be great, but physically, what do you think would they could do for the long term?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's not forget that, you know, they continue to be in first place of, you know, these NPD things that keep coming out. So it's true that there's, you know, a lot of stiff competition, but somehow they keep coming out on top, and I think that reflects the games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we've talked about, like, we would love to do more with non-Nintendo stuff. This year, though, it's been, like, such a difference of how many big Nintendo games have come out versus how many big, you know, Sony, Microsoft, other platform mm-hmm. games. So, you know, that remains a huge, you know...
part of why Switch is...
mark on their side.
Yeah, so popular.
Yeah. You know, and they've talked, Mr. Furukawa has talked a lot publicly about wanting to extend the life cycle of the Switch, which I think is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some other sort of hardware revision at some point.
They're zany though, so it's like, I feel like they, you know, Nintendo typically does not like try to match one for one what the competition is doing. Like when everyone was like all about the graphics and whatever, they went like a totally different way. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the differentiator is something that is just sort of out of left field and not something that the competitive system.
Yeah, it may not be the Switch Pro necessarily.
That's exactly. Yeah. It may not be like 4K whatever.
Right.
So.
I mean, Nintendo does truly believe that like the Switch and the games are for everybody. So they may be thinking like, oh, well, what is this one market that we haven't really made an impact with? Mm-hmm. And is there some sort of riff on the hardware that we could give to them to finally get them to want to get it late?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So very hard to know.
Expanded audience. Versus it being
right, like think about the 2DS, which was, you know, for kids, really.
Right.
Of, you know, it wasn't going to break with a hinge, and there were no worries about the 3D.
Yeah.
I wonder you know, Switch Lite is a little bit in that direction, but is there something else that could be like that? Who knows?
Fisher Price.
Who knows?
Switch Pro.
Only confirmed. Jeff Grubb knows.
Confirmed. That's what it is. Just kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, for me, I would say, I think Twilight Princess still is my favorite, like, storyline, because it's just a little bit, like, feels like a little bit darker, almost, a little bit more...
On Twilight Princess.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels like it would be, like, more dramatic or something like that for, like, a TV show. But I do also like all the memory segments that you got from Breath of the Wild that gave you, like, more background into the characters and... Like, especially Zelda, because sometimes I feel like we don't know very much about her, like what her background is. So I think those two probably be my pick.
Casting the Zelda movie is an idea we've talked about doing.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't exist, but we're still going to do it. I think if you were to do this, you know, you would imagine, okay, Zelda's going to become this big new franchise. So, like, what is the purpose of this first movie? It's to get people understanding the world, understanding the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I would try and do something that maybe is pretty just straightforward and just establish what that is. You know, the tricky thing with Ocarina of Time is you got time travel.
The time travel is always hard,
which I think is always a little dicey.
Yeah.
But that you know, is a classic Zelda story, so mm-hmm. I could also see it working if they found a way to nail that.
Yeah. Time travel, though, could be really tough to do.
Yikes.
No Majora's Mask. I think that would be really confusing.
That's the answer. Yeah.
Right? That would be super confusing. How would you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? It's the Mitomo route. You didn't see this coming.
You didn't see this coming. Yeah, exactly. All right, on this side.
So, I have a really serious question. Would you rather fight three monkeys or a bear?
What kind of monkeys?
Things like Diddy Kong.
Oh, no.
Diddy Kong? Does he have a peanut shooter gun? No weapons, just fisticuffs.
Just fisticuffs, yeah.
I fight three monkeys. It's easier to throw them off.
I'm gonna.
You know? If they're on me, I can throw. Yeah.
You hear crazy, like a chimpanzee's, like you don't want to get mixed up with a chimpanzee. I'm gonna fight the bear and just run away. I think
it's
I might
not
have.
A revenant. Like,
I'm gonna have a better time just running away from the bear, maybe.
I don't think you're gonna make
those
it.
Those monkeys are gonna.
It's gonna
come
chase
after
you
me.
Down and kill you. That would not
All right.
be good. The monkeys, I did have an experience with a monkey before. I was like.
Really?
Somewhere in China where they had like this mountain where a lot of monkeys live, and they don't let you bring food up there because they get like really ravenous and they'll come literally come after you to like take it out of your hands. Like they have no fear at all. And somebody that I was there with had something in their pocket, like a bag of chips or snacks or something, and the monkeys like mobbed him.
Whoa.
But it was not three monkeys, it was like 30 monkeys. So, it's a little scary. I ran away.
It's a lose-lose.
All right.
Back to this side.
Okay, over here.
That was a really good question. I'm a big Nintendo fan. I'm surprised. But I really like the Wii U, and I associate like a lot of memories with Wii U guys. I like Nintendo Land. I was wondering if you guys had any like interesting Nintendo Land stories or just like Wii U, like the beginning of the Wii U era, like interesting stories.
Yeah. Well, some of them are not very fun.
I have a not so happy memory.
There's some not so there are some happy memories with Wii U though.
Oh
I think we had like towards the end of sort of Wii U and there was like that whole like influx of really good games that came out. I do remember like I had a moment where I was like, maybe we can turn this around, and I was like, well, maybe not, but at least these games are good. But in the beginning, it was definitely tough to like find the positives because there was just so much like it was such a downer, you know.
I remember so my sad story is the Wii U came out before Thanksgiving, and around that Thanksgiving break, I had a get together with some friends. It was like, oh, Kit has the Wii U. He's been working on it. You know, he wants to show it off. So I had Nintendo Land. Everybody's excited to play. We would get into the menus, and it crashed. And it's like, oh, well, that's unusual. You know, start it up again, everybody's still excited, we go back into the same menu, we reach the same point of that menu, crashes again. And at that point, the enthusiasm is starting to get a little bit dampened.
Yeah.
We give it one more shot, guess what, it crashes again, and at that point everybody's like, let's do something else.
So embarrassing.
And that was the single moment of shame that I felt you know, working on a Nintendo product or being associated with a Nintendo product because it didn't work.
Yeah,
and that stuff that, you know, that got patched like days later, but you talk about a bad first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and that's just like the story of that system.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I mean, the games on that system are
awesome.
Among the best.
Yeah. I have very fond memories of playing some really amazing Wii U games. And most of them are on Switch. There's some that are not. Yeah, I hope that gets brought over because there's so many people that must have missed it on Wii U.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Where are we? Here?
Back here, yes.
Hi. So my question to you is, you guys talk about how you guys, excuse me, how you guys always got the announcement for Nintendo before they were officially announced. However, now that you're no longer Nintendo,
oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it's been really fun to like watch the directs and like do all the predictions and reactions and stuff because we were never able to do that before. And I would always be really sad too when I worked on a game when the game would just the whole storyline would get spoiled. So now I don't have that problem anymore, which is really nice. But Let me think. Do you have one? One announcement that you were surprised
by? So there was one direct that happened shortly after we left that I knew most of what was in there.
I didn't know that one.
We've had sort of these little drips and drabs over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had that big, like, blowout, though, since we've left, which we've been looking forward to.
Yeah.
So I'd say I think I'm still waiting for that big pop-off moment
Hype.
To some news.
You know what? I will pick one. I think when I woke up the morning of the first, you know, Pokemon Scarlet Violet, and that professor looked exactly like you. And I went to Twitter and I was like, why are there like 100 notifications? Like, what is happening right now? And it was just like, what is going on? You know, because I had never seen that character, you know, that artwork before. It was like one of the first kind of things we were learning about the new Pokemon game. And it was just so much fun and funny to see that. And then I think we did a reaction to that.
Yeah,
Pokemon Direct a little bit later that day. And it was like a jarring experience to see you captured in professor form. So I'm going to pick that one for now until we get the big Breath of the Wild 2 announcement really pop off.
Yes.
Thank you.
My question is for, will there be more Animal Crossing videos? And do you know if there will be another one?
Yeah. First of all, I love your whole outfit with the net. It's so cute. Oh my gosh, those Animal Crossing videos like saved our lives, honestly. Like that is such like a special thing that we were so desperate, I think, during that time. I think maybe all of us were feeling it. It was like dead in the middle of the pandemic, and we just had like no way of really doing anything that was normal to our lives. You know, we were suddenly, you know, working at home, like we didn't get to see anybody. We didn't get to see each other for like a really long time. And I had this like really like scared feeling like, oh my gosh, we can never make an episode of Nintendo Minute again. Like we have to shut this down because this pandemic happened and I don't know when we're gonna go back to the office. And when we finally discovered that we were able to make something, you know, inside Animal Crossing, I remember building one of my Animal Crossing rooms to look like the Nintendo Minute studio.
That was the moment.
That was the moment where I was like, there is hope
again. We can do something really big with this.
Yeah. And it was the response that we got on some of those videos, like so many people in the comments were saying like, this has helped me so much. Like this is like the positivity I needed in this like kind of dark time that we were all experiencing together. I was like, this is why we do this, you know, this is why it makes it worth it to do this. I would love to do more Animal Crossing videos.
I'm gonna say yes, we will.
Yes, Animal Crossing videos, here we go.
When? I don't know. But yes.
The holidays are always good in Animal Crossing. Those events are always fun.
Yeah.
We can do something fun.
Animal Crossing rap battle in the game.
Oh, in the game? That would be awesome. We should totally do that.
Putting that out there.
We can use like the emotes from the characters.
That's my raps, yeah.
But yes, Animal Crossing videos, for sure.
Yes.
Okay, hi. Who do you both count on your season card or not like?
Who do I what?
Who do you both count on your team if you're
Who do you want on your team in Scarlet and Violet? Starters.
I am going.
Fui Coco?
Yes, thank you. I forgot.
We're both going.
Fui Coco, yes, we're both going that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fire starters, I'm always a fire starter.
I'm not too like tied to a type.
Yeah, I'm.
I did not go with Score Bunny. Yeah, I was on the Sobble Squad. Fui Coco, we're both going, we're riding with Fui Coco.
What is your typical like team buildup? You're like Machamp.
As many Machamps as I can get my hands on.
So Fui Coco and then
and five Machamps. Yeah.
Got
yeah,
it.
That's
good
my team.
Stuff.
I'm very balanced.
All right. Yeah. But yes, I'm excited. Now you have to get the one with yourself in it. So which one is that one?
That's the one I'll be getting, yes.
Violet?
Yes.
Okay. You don't know anything about this game.
It's not out now. I don't need
all
to
right,
worry about
our
it.
Our other little Animal Crossing friend over there.
Hi.
Hi. Me too. It's okay.
Oh,
which Animal Crossing villager is my favorite? I like Cherry. Cherry, that the pink puppy dog. So cute.
Okay.
I was devastated when Cherry moved out and I didn't stop her. So, but that's my pick. That and Julius, the unicorn. That's a good one, too.
I like the whole just kind of like bro personality type.
Oh, see, that's the type
because
I kick out of my village.
They
like,
tend
no,
to get
you.
Matched with the more like weenie body types. So I'm like, there's just
it's
some.
It's like a hamster that's like lifting
yeah,
weights.
There's just some special energy that's coming out of this that I don't understand, but I just like it.
Does it remind you of you?
What?
Does it? Oh. Is that why? Do we unearth
maybe.
Something in
maybe.
The session?
Wait, wait and listen to my rap.
how are we doing on time? Oh, 2 minutes.
I think we can do it. We can
yes.
do it. Two more questions.
Go.
We can do it. Well, they've started up their thing with Panda that, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's going to be a long-term partnership with there, but I think there's just going to be perpetual friction.
I think so too.
You know, that's a great step in the right direction, mm-hmm. but it'll never be exactly what that community wants.
Right.
Is just kind of the truth.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, you do see a lot of Smash players are like dabbling in other games. We've talked about that. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, is that going to be, you know, a permanent shift for some of these players,
right.
or are they still going to like double up on these games? But that just seems to be the ongoing story of Nintendo and the Smash community. Is
yeah,
this,
there's just going to be like this chasm.
This
that
friction.
It's
right.
hard to
right.
bridge, I think, being like a very strict IP place that Nintendo is and sort of what the Melee community and
yeah.
some of the other Smash
and
communities
I, yeah, and
want.
I think we'll continue to see flare-ups of, you know, certain tournaments getting shut down because they're doing things that Nintendo doesn't like that are in within Nintendo's rights, but, you know, obviously upset the community.
Okay, stop talking because we had to answer this person's question.
Yes, last question.
That person, the enforcer just held up the time thing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm very nervous now.
We can do it.
Okay, go for it. Thank you. Good question. Definitely, this losing the safety net in all respects coming from, you know, inside Nintendo was a hurdle, a challenge. You know, like we lost the safety net of a production team, of the huge reach that Nintendo has. But you traded for other stuff that is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we came from a channel that had like 8.5 million subscribers, so. There's going to be some sort of a drop-off. What's been interesting to us is, you know, the podcast tends to outperform, you know, Super Kit and Krista 64, other types of videos, which is absolutely not what we would have expected, but has been a really fun and cool surprise.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been really fun. You know, honestly, we're just grateful for the growth that we've been able to get so far with the support of all of you. We're going to keep growing. That's the plan. This is a long-term thing for us. You know, we want to keep making content. And without Nintendo, we do get freedom.
Right.
A lot of creative freedom. So that has been, like, the sort of the biggest, like, fun thing for us, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait to keep doing more. Awesome. We did it!
The last one. You all were an awesome audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
We've reached the end of our episode.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
We love seeing all of you.
See you around the show.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.